And then I'll be, welcome to Pop Culture Roulette for all your pop culture needs. We're America's Podcast. All right, welcome everybody. Just so we weren't going to go dark for 3 weeks, I decided that we needed to record something. So I brought in two guys who have been on before. So this is a rarity. I've almost never brought anybody back. So for the first time ever returning guest, I've got Tim.
Hello.
And I've got Charlie.
Wow, honored to be the first returning guest. That's quite the honor.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Since last time they've both been on, they've started Around the Base, a pop culture sports podcast. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I figured just to kind of start, Tim, I got to throw some massive compliments your way. With everything that you've done for us since we've left Atlanta, just as a reminder, for those of you who haven't listened to every episode, I know Tim and Charlie because of We Are Fam. We all got casted and we all got put as alternates. That's a whole story. We've told it before. No need to go into it again. But since we've left Atlanta, Tim has been a massive coordinator of keeping everybody together and in line. And he was doing the Lord's work, basically, on getting us all clips and GIFs and
screenshots
and just countless numbers of work, not just for us, for the true crew, other people as well. And it is beyond astounding because I barely had the patience to, I haven't even actually watched all the episodes of We Are Family. So,
well, I could say securely, I've seen each episode about 20 times at this point.
That's not a big number.
Because I am just obsessed, although, like I said, you know, to Charlie a couple of days ago, I'll always have fond memories of doing that show, even with the experience that we had. But just because of recording and editing and putting stuff down, and I've made jump drives of all the episodes on MP4s, which was a task in itself. So yeah, I've seen at least each episode about 20 times. I could tell you intricate details of each one. And now Fox is replaying them on Saturday nights at 11:30. So
they just had their the second one and the next eight Saturdays re-airing
season. Nice. So I'm getting my second shot of my 30 seconds of fame.
Exactly. You're up to a minute now.
Oh man. if there is a second season, do you see what kind of format changes do you think would happen, or do they roll with exactly what they did?
I see, you know, my view of it is if, and I think it's a pretty big, I think they will go with the second season. I kind of feel that. I think what Fox is doing right now by airing the show, what they do is throughout the year, all their game shows end up on Saturday night at 11:30. They just finished their run of the floor. They started We Are Family. Eventually they'll have Beat Shazam and all the other shows that they do. I think it's a cheap show to make. You're paying celebrities and relatives. You're paying whatever they pay the audience. I do think a couple of the changes that they'd make is they probably would go from 100 to 50 contestants in the audience. I think that's a better move because if you go to 50, then you have a 1 in 5 chance 75. Of becoming a star player. Yeah. And plus you can fill the rest of the gaps with actual audience too, you know, like people to watch the show. I think that would kind of give a good mix to the show and maybe not have the necessity of so many, like, you know, applause tracks and laugh tracks that they included in this last season that I, you know, was able to pick up on. And what do you think, Charlie?
Yeah. And to your point about it being relatively cheap to make, that now that they also have done the initial work, the second season will be so.
Do I think they're going to invite any of us back? No.
Oh, no. No.
That's for sure.
and honestly, unless they put it in writing, not just verbal, in writing, that I was guaranteed, you know, in, and I don't, and even if it was 2.5 weeks again, I wouldn't do it.
Right. Like,
I mean, I want to do another game show. I just don't want to do one that would 2.5 weeks. I don't think I'd be allowed to do another 2.5 week game show
from your wife and your job. Yeah, we've talked. I this is not my first rodeo, as you guys know, and this is not the normal experience. This was more like filming a reality show. You know, you're away for 2.5 weeks. You're confined with people that you really get to know and become family, literally, pun intended, because that's what we did, especially as a true crew. But, typical game shows, like if Wheel of Fortune, for example. Wheel of Fortune, I flew out there on, let's say, a Monday, filmed on a Tuesday, went home on a Wednesday. That's the way that show works. And they film 5 episodes in a day, 5 half-hour episodes in a day. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, a similar thing. I went in a day after I filmed and a day after I left. Typically, that is the process of game shows. Now, mind you, those shows were 17 and 20 something years ago, but still, I mean, if you look at shows now, Jeopardy still does it the same way. Wheel of Fortune still does it. These new shows, kind of with the whole cast being on the show for the whole season, are doing things different. And listen, I understand that. I mean, if you're looking from a casting point of view, you cast 115 people for 10 episodes. You're not having to worry about flying people in and out. They're there. They're there for 10 days. They get to know the show, the format. By the time you're getting to show 7, 8, 9, 10, it's running like a well-oiled machine, which it did. I mean, yeah. If you think about it. There's a lot of pluses to that. Now, personally, how that impacts us, I get it. If they said to me tomorrow, Tim, I want you to come, we want you on, not gonna happen, but we want you on season two, I would say yes immediately, even if it was 2.5 weeks. I just had that much fun doing it. Would it be the same experience? Absolutely not, because it's the people that made the experience for me.
One of the things I did read in the contract that stuck out to me before we ever got down there was like the requirement of like if they ever did a reunion show, that they could require you to be there. And I'm like, good luck with
hypothetically,
that.
They could call season two reunion season if they wanted, as long as within the time frame.
I don't think they're going to pull anybody's arm to actually go on a show. As we know, our experience, people left in the middle of the season. Yeah. So I don't think they're going to like force anybody to go on. I think that wouldn't make good TV.
It wouldn't be beneficial for them either.
But I think they have that in there just to have the option to invite people back.
I think there's only one person I could see them inviting back from the cast, and he never made an episode.
Brett.
Brett. Who, by the way, Brett, if you're listening, congratulations on winning the bracket. You are the Pop Culture Roulette March Madness bracket winner.
Brett.
Ooh, very nice.
It does not matter. It does not matter if UConn or Purdue wins the national title game. He's already won because the three people who could score more points, he has UConn winning, and they all have UConn winning. So not a single person in my bracket pool had Purdue in the championship game, let alone winning it. So,
wow. Good job, Brett.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Nicholas, a point of clarification. Who won the Oscar pool?
Tim, also, congratulations for once again winning another contest.
Wait. So is the real truth then, because he won, he's returning guest and he forced himself back as the first returning guest?
No. Oddly enough, he requested a time travel episode the day I released a time travel episode. I did.
So it was perfect timing. You fulfilled it.
Normally when you've won one of our contests, you barely get the episode that you requested before the next contest.
I time traveled ahead and I figured out what episode it was going to be. I came back and I requested it, and just voila.
Boom, problem solved. Marty
McFly. Yeah.
But yeah, I could see them asking him because he didn't make any episodes through no fault of his own, but not necessarily their choice for him not to make the episode. But I could also see them just going, nobody from the, 110, 115 of us would a couple people in particular, but, we're not going to go into that.
I think it would be to their advantage, honestly, to invite the cast from last season back, only because there's so much you can do with that. Like, it's the family reunion, the family's back together. There's so many things that, but I don't know how important that is for them. You know,
listening to Around the Bases, you guys have had a few guests on, and some of the other cast members that I didn't have a chance to interact with very much. And some, I think it was Rob said something, or maybe it was Mike, I can't remember, that got me thinking. I think at some point during the casting of the show that we were on, they were casting both us and the floor at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think they were just deciding why it was taking them so long to decide who was where was they were trying to figure out, well, which one of us had passports.
Well, it's no secret. I auditioned for the floor.
Right.
I made it to a point where, you know, they're like, stand by. We'll let you know if you're going to fly to Ireland or not, because it taped in Ireland. And probably about 5 days later, I get an email from them saying, sorry, you weren't selected. Literally like 2 days later, I see, I follow Josh Randall, who's awesome. He's one of the casting folks with We Are Family and American Idol and all that. And he put on his Instagram that they're casting this pop culture game show. So I saw that, and I literally like sent an application, and immediately in the next day I was called by the casting people. So, I mean, I wasn't necessarily I was weird, because I was one of the last people I think that they cast for We Are Family. So, you know, I wasn't like under consideration and moved over to We Are Family. I was told with the floor that I wasn't going to Ireland. So, yeah. And then even with We Are Family, I was told I wasn't going to We Are Family until 2 weeks after that. And then they changed their mind or something happened where I was a last minute addition. So there was a lot of last minute fun stuff that happened before I went to Atlanta.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me though, if there were some of the people, basically they had the 81 needed for the floor. Let's say they had about 100 people, 15 or so that didn't quite cut at the end, maybe their family.
I think Rob's theory, Charlie, I think Rob's theory is...
And that's what made me think it, because when Rob was talking about his casting, it seemed very similar to my casting. Mm. It was a good year and a half before I actually got there. Maybe not as long as he had been doing it. But all of the questions that I got the first time I interviewed with them had nothing to do with anything related to what we did on We Are Family. But it made a lot, once I watched the floor, it made a lot more sense that I think at some point, and then they were like, oh, wait, he doesn't have a passport. We like him. Let's move him over to this other show. And I think there's a lot of us, like me and Rob, and I don't know how many, because I didn't talk to everybody, but, you know, a lot of us who were probably like, you know, we want to cast them for both, and well, they don't have a passport, so let's move them over here, or we think they're a better fit here or a better fit there. But I wonder, I'd like to get, when you guys have somebody from the floor on,
in the next couple of weeks,
I'd like to hear her take on it, to see if her casting process was similar. Because
we'll
I'm curious. It's just, I mean, you know, maybe it's just the one conspiracy theory I'm willing to buy into.
Well, it's interesting, you know, that, as I said, you know, I was so late in the process. I knew when I was going through the process for the floor that the show was named The Floor. I knew exactly what it was. As a matter of fact, I, you know, got a VPN and looked at the Dutch version of the show to kind of get to familiar with what it was. And then when I applied for We Are Family, I always look at the fine print, and you can see in the fine print, it was for a show called We Are Family. So a quick Google got me Jamie Foxx is hosting this show about celebrities and relatives. And that I kind of knew. You know, I guess I was one of the few that when I was going through, I actually knew what I was, you know, auditioning for. Well, even in my video, I said, hey, We Are Family.
Yeah, I didn't know what I was until I got the contract that, you know, like when they had it in the fine print, I was like, oh, okay. And then I was able to Google it. But
yeah.
All right. So fantasy casting, they call you and they're like, any game show. What is your fantasy cast to be on a game show? They, for whatever reason, Hollywood in general has called you and said, we want you to be on a game show. You get to pick it. Which one are you doing?
Could it be a game show or reality show?
Yeah, sure.
Because they're the same thing. Okay, Charlie, go ahead. I talk a lot.
Oh, man. Mine's always hard, because if you could guarantee me there'd be no like weird eating thing, then I'd probably pick Survivor or The Challenge, something like that. But with that in the background, I don't know if I could.
Well, you could. Here's my theory on that. I thought about that, because we talked about this a couple last episode or two. You could always say, I'm not just not doing that, and you won't get whatever points you are for that challenge. You could always kind of say,
it depends on the one, though. Sometimes in the actual challenge, you're out at that moment. If you don't do it, they just kick you out.
That's true. That's so true.
I wouldn't want to go into that with that as a penalty.
I understand that.
Yeah.
For me, I without a doubt, 100% would be Big Brother. No doubt at all in my mind. I would, you know, Julie Chen to sit there with the other house guests and go through a season. Yes, locked up in a house for 3 months. Yeah. my idea of fun is always interesting anyway.
So with Big Brother, because I've never watched an episode, are they actually in the house for 3 months, or is it like,
oh yeah,
so it's not like We Are Family when they're like, we've been doing this for 10 weeks and we've really only been there.
There's 24/7.
There's
24-hour cameras. You can go and watch them at all times.
Charlie and I are huge Big Brother fans. We'll be doing a lot of coverage, I'm sure, when that show airs. But
I've never watched an episode of Big Brother. I've barely ever watched Survivor.
Now, mind you, the house is a studio at CBS Television City. I mean, it's not really a house.
Well,
it's
but...
Yeah, there's actual corridors of, and Rob was telling this during our episode. His brother is one of the producers of The Bold and the Beautiful, and he was able to get him behind the scenes of Big Brother. And there are corridors literally with like two-way mirrors, and it's just cameras in these corridors. And if you're in the house, you can hear them like rustling about. I've tried. I've definitely applied. I've gotten somewhat forward. I think once, you know, everything clears up in the next year or two and I'm in a healthier space physically, I would definitely apply again for that show. I think, you know, I could always be the token old guy. I don't have a problem with that.
You'll be the new season's Cliff.
Better than Cliff.
I loved Cliff.
At least you didn't say Felicia. That was last season's old person.
Oh, okay.
There was a couple, actually, but yeah.
Do either of you remember a show from the early 2000s called Beat the Geeks?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I actually was pulling out DVDs today, and I have copies of it. If you want to see it, I have old copies of it.
I would resurrect that show just so I could be on it.
Loved that show.
I mean, I've always wanted to try Jeopardy, but at the same time, like I can watch Jeopardy and do fairly well, but I don't know. Like, I'm always afraid, like, I'd get on the episode where the category is, like, opera.
Renaissance paintings.
Yeah, 18th century Russian.
For me, it's Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Shakespeare.
But, you know, and I wouldn't, like, then the next episode that I'm watching on TV, it's, like, Marvel. baseball, like I was watching I was watching a clip today where the last category was football, and like they were like softball questions for football.
Yeah,
like they were just gimmies, like put them on a tee and like knock them
and
out
they didn't
the
get any of them right.
Not a single one. And I'm like blown away.
That's
like
amazing.
how and I've seen them do it with baseball as well, and it's like, oh.
Our family member Jen shared that on Instagram the other day, and I've seen it before where they have, you know, just classic. Oh, man. I've tried for Jeopardy. That test is incredibly difficult. I fell at Shakespeare, even though I have a Shakespeare poster in my room.
I took the Jeopardy test last week, 2 weeks ago. I don't know, relatively recently. And I'm pretty sure I failed. I was like the first half of it, I was like knocking them out of the park. And then like halfway through, I'm like, oh, I am getting a lot of these wrong. Or
is it?
I love the
choice?
Fact that you took it.
No, it's not multiple choice.
You have to fill in. Like,
you don't have to write in like who is or what is or how it, you know, like you just have to write down the answer. And they said that spelling doesn't count. But, you know, again, kind of like what we did, they're like, spelling doesn't count as long as we figure out, you know, as long as it's close enough for us to figure it out.
And you only get 8 seconds per question, and you can't go back and go, it was that. Once it flashes through, it's really hard. The test is really hard.
Oh, so you have to write it down in the
8 seconds?
Type it.
Yes. In 8 seconds.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So your mind has to process the question and get out the answer in 8 seconds.
Yeah,
somehow
I think it would be better suited for me if I did what you did for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and like do like the live casting, you know, like the live in-person taping. And here,
oh yeah, I did. So Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? By the time I got on the show, they did a phone game, and they did. They were doing a phone game for a while, and they did in-person auditions. I got on in an in-person audition. I actually did a test, multiple. That was multiple choice, of different topics.
But yeah, I because they still do Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but syndicated.
No, it's
no. Okay,
not.
They finally.
Unfortunately,
okay.
Jimmy Kimmel was the last one to host a show a couple of years ago. I'm hopeful maybe they'll bring it back soon.
Because I
was a good host.
I would have done The Weakest Link as well, but I my fear
love
with
that show.
Because when Jane Lynch brought it back, she was really good at it. But
I have a funny Weakest Link story to tell you. Well, go
I,
ahead.
I'm afraid I would have been the victim of what a lot of it was. It was like you're just too smart, so they get rid of you. Like I was like, there's no way I'd make it to the final round because they'd be like, "Yep, you're out. You're answering to me. I don't want to go against you."
Do you remember Stump the Schwab?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I'd go on that one. That one would be fun.
Yeah, you would be good at that. As a funny Weakest Link story, real quick. So when the Ann Robinson version was on, the original version that was on the US, they auditioned in Miami, and I went to an audition. This was a little after Millionaire. And my thinking was, in watching the show, oh, they want some of the people to be bad guys, nasty, right? So I went to the audition. I did well in a test, and then in the mock game, I was nasty. Like, I just was trying to be that bad guy. And this is why, you know, when you go to an audition, I always tell you to be yourself. I was not being myself. I was being a character that I thought they wanted, and I immediately got cut. Like, and they even said to me, they go, "No, we don't want this." I'll never forget that
Learned
experience.
The hard way.
That was like my Hollywood Squares audition. But yeah, the stories I can tell.
Well, you've been posting some stuff on Facebook that we never talked about when we were in Atlanta recently. You were an extra on Any Given Sunday.
Yes, I was. I didn't mention that.
No, that never came up. You were an extra in a couple other movies as well.
Yeah. Any Given Sunday, they put out a casting call in Miami. 1999, and they wanted to fill seats at the Orange Bowl before they tore it. That's where Monuments Park is now. The Orange Bowl was there. And I was like, be an extra in a movie with like a Cameron Diaz and Jamie Foxx and what? I'm like, yeah, I'm there. So I recruited my wife and we went down. They gave us these foam sharks and we had these Miami Shark shirts. And we spent a very hot day in the bleachers at the Orange Bowl.
Did
and
you get
got
to keep
to see
the gear?
Jamie Foxx. We got the shirt. I still have the shirt in my closet, actually. It does not fit, but
and the foam
yeah,
fingers. The
I
shark?
Didn't keep the foam fingers. I know I should have, but I did have the keychain that I shared on Instagram today. But yeah, it was a cool experience, and I cannot see myself in there at all. I was also an extra on the Tom Cruise movie Rock of Ages. I was in the crowd in the concert scene. You can't see me either. It's like, but I got all dressed up. I was like in the fake, you know, the fake studs, and I had the whole heavy metal thing going on. It was fun, you know. And that was filmed at the Seminole Hard Rock in the Hard Rock Live. The scenes for the concert. It was a lot of fun, you know. I do stuff like that. I you know, I have had a very interesting life.
you know, Tim. Because you were when did you move to Miami?
In 1991.
Okay, and so you and I definitely had a chance to cross paths multiple times when I lived there from 02 to, I lived there for 3 years from 02 to 05, because I know I spent at least one night at the Seminole Hard Rock with a bunch of friends for somebody's birthday party.
Yeah, I was there all the time.
I went to Marlins all the time, and you and I last time we were talking about the minor league team that's not too far away.
Yep, Jupiter.
And I worked at FAU where you went to school, but obviously I don't think you were at school when I was working there.
No,
yeah,
I didn't go to FAU until like 2011-ish.
Okay, yeah,
but yeah, I was in Aventura the years you were down here. I was living.
So,
yeah.
So it's entirely possible that you and I were in the same building at the same time. And we just never met each other.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's insane. Yeah, I've been to Chicago a couple of times too. Who knows? I might have ran into Charlie and not even know.
You never know.
I worked for a company called dentalplans.com, and we had two offices, one here in Dania and the other was in Des Plaines. And I used to travel every month up to Chicago, go to Des Plaines. And yeah, I mean, you just never know. It's crazy. Yeah,
Des Plaines is like 15 minutes from where I grew up.
I know.
I played softball in Des Plaines. It's definitely
crazy. And I didn't enjoy being in Chicago in January and February.
Oh, what are you talking about? It's great.
Oh, you're flying from Florida. No one was on the plane going that way unless you were coming home. No one's going and leaving here to go there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that.
But I do love you. I do love Chicago.
The fact that it was snowing last week.
Was it?
It didn't even, I mean, it stuck for like an hour, but we did.
So Charlie wants to see the Cubs beat the Dodgers today. What was the temperature in Wrigley today?
It was probably mid to high 40s, cold and rainy.
Risk?
That's 3-hour rain delay, you know.
Do they sell hot chocolate at Wrigley?
They do.
Oh, that would be nice. Oh, nice. I like that.
Yeah.
They won't have it in June, but.
Probably not. It says it's 44 degrees outside. Here in the Milwaukee area. So it's got to be pretty similar for Charlie.
44 feels like 34.
39, actually. So it's not that bad. No.
Yeah,
I mean, it is
39's not that bad.
47.
Yeah, it's only April, you know.
You want to play like this 42. Game? It's right now. It's 71 here.
Fuck you, Tim. Fuck you.
We know this is getting edited out.
I don't know. This is a not safe for work podcast. You can say whatever you want here.
Oh, that's good. Yes, yeah, because we keep ours clean. So that's
which I'm very adept at clean, keeping myself clean if I have to, which is probably
I deserve the FU,
which is something I should probably work on. But that, if anything, I'll edit that
that's
part.
What I love about you. I love about you, man.
So what have we been watching recently? Because that's what one of the things that I always bring up on this show is what have you been watching? So it's been a while since either of you have been on. So, you know, if it's something you didn't watch like in the last week, you want to just bring it up, like any sort of movie or TV show that, you know, that you've been watching recently that you want to talk about.
Absolutely. I've been watching Ted. Fucking funny as shit. Such a funny movie. I mean, show. Well, it wasn't a funny movie, but it's a funny show. And I mean, I love it.
It was very enjoyable.
It's so like when I was watching it, right? I remember the movie, of course, but I was like, oh, they're going to tame it down for, and I'm like, no way. Like, they just let it go. I loved it. Like, there's something about it that just, and to Charlie's recommendation, I watched The Bear not that long ago, which I really, really enjoyed. Great show. Had to catch up on that. So
new season's coming out in 6-8 weeks almost.
I know. I can't wait.
I need to give that another shot. I couldn't make it through the first episode.
The first episode is tough. It starts slow. Yeah, Charlie said that to me because I was watching it and I was like, first episode, I'm like, oh, I don't know. He's like, it starts slow, but you'll like it.
And sure enough, I remember like 72 hours later, Tim had texted me, I'm finished, caught up.
I literally watched. That's what happens when you have no life.
It wasn't necessarily that it was slow. It was the way they shot the first episode. Like, it was kind of hard to, you know, the frantic pace, I guess. I don't know, but.
The character development in the show and the characters themselves make it so rich. There's this one episode where the mother makes a dinner that is just so amazingly enthralling, like really good acting and so fast. It's like
flashback.
Yeah, the flashback episode. It's like the seventh or eighth episode in the season. It's two seasons, right?
So yeah, there's two.
Season two, it's like towards the, it's such a good episode. Jamie Lee Curtis is absolutely fantastic in that show. Yeah, I really enjoyed it a lot.
All right, maybe I'll give it a second shot.
Yeah, I think it's worth giving it a second
shot. What are you watching, Charlie?
Well, I mean, as we're recording it, airing right now is the series finale of Curb. I've been watching Curb.
That's right. Me too.
Curb's great. We've been catching up on, we've been watching some a little reality. Not too long ago, we watched The Traitors, which I loved, highly recommended. We've been watching Deal or No Deal Island, which is fine, not the same. I'd recommend Traitors. That'd probably be one of my bigger, higher recommend.
I'm gonna start watching the UK version, I think.
Yeah, I've heard people suggest that too. We haven't.
I'm wondering if it's gonna be difficult for me to connect to it, but we'll see.
You know what? My wife and I have been binging out on the British Bake Off or the British Baking
How is
Champion.
that?
It's very different than American, because we watch a lot of cooking. Like we love the spring baking and the Tournament of Champions, which is probably my absolute favorite cooking competition, right? But it's different, but it's enjoyable. And like we started it because we had been recommended it by a number of people and we weren't sure, but like we're like 5 or 6 seasons in now, so like we've just been, have either of you do either of you watch much cooking shows or
Yeah.
My wife does, so I follow along.
have
She's been watching Next Level Chef
Okay,
recently.
my wife loves the Gordon Ramsay stuff. I can't stand him, so I don't watch any of it with her. But have either of you ever watched Tournament of Champions?
I've seen it
I've
before,
seen
not
bits and pieces, but yeah, not
I
like you would have.
I think it's absolutely brilliant because they figured out a way to bracket the chef, so they make like a March Madness style bracket.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So, but my
That's Guy Fieri, right?
yeah, Guy Fieri is the host, but
Yeah.
my favorite part about it is that the two people who are competing against each other don't know who the judges are. Then they get taken out of the room and the judges get brought in. So the judges don't know who cooked, and the people who were cooking don't know who the judges are until like, I mean, and from my to the best of my knowledge, the judges don't get told who they were actually judging until like the show's done taping. Like, so
Interesting.
they don't know who, so there's no bias. There's no like, oh, well, I really like Bobby Flay. He's not a competitor, but
Right.
Bobby Flay is automatically going to get a couple extra points out of the judges because he's Bobby Flay,
That makes it fair.
especially if he's going up against somebody who's kind of a little bit more no name, or somebody who's a little bit more polarizing, say, might get a couple votes taken away because, he's kind of a dick or, and so there's no bias towards like, oh, well, this chef cooks this way, so there's no bias because this person's more famous or less famous. And so I really like it. So I think it's honestly the most fair cooking competition out there. Plus they got the randomizer, which is a big wheel with five different categories.
Guy
So
Fieri loves that wheel.
there's no like there's
You're sure you're
no
not mixing that up with the floor? Or
the
the
re
wheel. There was a show called The Wheel.
I think I feel like the randomizer on Tournament of Champions was way more random than the randomizer on the floor.
Yeah, who knows,
I mean,
right? That was.
I really liked the floor. I totally wish I was on that show. If they weren't filming in Ireland, I would totally try to be on the second season.
But the thing about the floor is, the only people that were guaranteed any money were the person who won it all and the people who won each episode. Everyone else didn't get anything.
Yeah, it's
That's the
true.
tough part.
What
That's the tough part.
right. But but there's no way that thing was actually random. I just they
I
weren't
mean, I would
they,
hope so.
I mean, I would hope so too. It just seemed like the randomizer was picking certain, not certain people, but certain people standing next to
Yeah.
certain,
Well,
like
they did say that it only randomized amongst people that had yet to be
hadn't
chosen.
played.
Right, yeah.
So the
So
odds were probably in just statistically speaking, the biggest squares would have the greatest odds of getting. Not to say it would happen every time, but
but it just seemed kind of like, well, they're not going to pick somebody over here. It's going to be over in that corner, and it was in that.
Well, the person who ended up winning the show, it's not a spoiler at this point. She was hidden. She was basically, she had an early on duel that she won, that she got two squares, and she pretty much hung out there for the majority of the
Yeah,
season.
because there were only two next to her, and one of the
Yeah.
two had already played one. So there was only
Right.
one square that
She
could be pulled
was
in the
absolutely in the
random. That's
most
a great position.
great position.
Yeah.
I will say though that some of the people who were towards the end when it got down to four or five people, the one guy who had the most space was the worst strategy. Like, why would you pick a category that you know nothing about? Make him pick a category. Like, if you know something about it, at least make the person who knows nothing about their category. Like, don't pick their category. Make them go against you in your category. So at least you're on equal footing.
The interesting thing about game shows in general is, and you guys know this from doing We Are Family, you'd sometimes do things there that you're like, what was I thinking?
Oh,
Because you have
absolutely.
these lights and I mean, hello, Dermot Mulroney, right? I mean, you know,
Well, the
and
amount.
hello, what was the person that you didn't
Oh,
get?
the amount of shit that I have taken
Candace Cameron, right?
from multiple people is Candace Cameron Bure. And I mean, I will say it again right here on this podcast. And I'll probably have to say it more times throughout the rest of my life, is that that was the last episode we taped, and I had put myself under so much pressure because I knew that there was a limit that I had to get to, and I needed to get one of the two right. So I wanted to get that first one right. Because also I had to get the first one right to have a chance of being star player on the last episode. I knew that, and then I choked. I straight up, I of course I know who Candace Cameron is. You're gonna tell me that a kid who was born in 1978, growing up on TGIF, didn't know who Candace Cameron was?
Well, I think we all had those moments, you know. I think, and throughout the show, each of us had that moment where we're like, "Oh," and you know, I don't think that's
Impossible
to
not
your
to.
point. People don't understand necessarily the shows that the way they aired it were not in the order they taped it.
Yes.
That's an important part.
And you know, I have a better respect for people when I watch these game shows now, because like I'll be sitting at home and I'm like, how did you get that one wrong? But it's like, okay, I get it. You don't know what kind of stress they were under before they got to that, or you know, how out of the, you know, I can only imagine that being in Ireland for a couple of days, you've got jet lag, you're on set, you've never been on TV before,
Not
like.
only mention that, one of their days they had filmed 3-hour-long episodes in a day, and they said it was torture. Like it was a long day.
Well, I mean,
So,
just getting 2 episodes a day filmed with us was 12 to 14 hours, so I can only
yeah.
imagine. Yeah.
And you know, to your, you know, interesting, we didn't talk about this since the shows, because when each of us was on your on the show, you know, we really weren't able to really say anything. But how about that Joel McHale coming out and hosting the last those two episodes after we, you know, that's crazy stuff. And poor Nicholas.
Oh, I'm such a Joel McHale fan, and I had 2 shots of seeing him. You know, I don't know if I would have got a chance to shake his hand or say anything to him, but I had 2 shots at it, and they kept me away both times.
I was telling Charlie yesterday, I would have, because they replayed the episode, I would have absolutely known who Carney Wilson was. I absolutely would have gotten that right. There was people that came up in the episodes that we were not there for that, like, oh, that cost me money. I wish,
Yeah,
you know.
absolutely. And the other thing that I've had to tell people a couple of times is, one, we could not hear the person in the sphere nearly as well as you can hear him on TV.
Correct.
And no silhouette.
And there was no silhouette, so we couldn't, you know, base it off of that. And then the other one was like, those crazy answers that they spliced in were from a different part of the game.
That were then non-existent.
Yes, because you could literally see my clap a couple of times throughout the season, the same clap, and they inserted into episodes I wasn't physically there for. And I don't know, were you, was Tiffany Haddish one of the shows that you were part of?
That was the first one I was in the room for.
Listen, did they or did they not? When she sang originally,
I
she
text when I
sounded.
saw that episode, I sent out the group text. I was like, "There's that is not how she sounded." And
No.
Nick Testa was like, "No, they auto-tuned her up.
No, they
They
literally took her second
it's
recording
the second
after they corrected
performance.
it and played it twice. That's
Yeah.
what
Yeah,
they
because
did.
remember she redid it and they played it.
Because
But
they
you
were
know,
pretty mad at her, so.
but when you're talking about a game show, that threw a lot of it didn't throw me. I got it right, but it threw some people off. Like her voice throwing the voice like
Do you
that.
remember who I guessed when I got called on about how much she threw people off?
I
I
don't.
guessed
Who'd you
Mike
say?
frickin' Tyson.
Oh my God. Can you imagine they use that?
Because Al said Macy Gray, I switched to whatever. I don't remember what I originally put. I put Macy Gray because that's she sounded like Macy Gray.
Well, I learned fairly quickly that whenever they had people guess, it was usually the wrong answer. So in my
Yeah,
head, I'm like, it's not that.
that was also the first time, the first
Oh, yeah.
celebrity I was in the room for, so I hadn't learned that yet.
Yeah.
But I'm not blaming Al because I don't. I mean, I knew as soon as she walked out, I'm like, oh, I know
No, the
who that
lot
is.
and the logic was sound. Stumble, trip.
And
Right. I
honestly,
liked it.
if Al says something, I'm going to believe it because he
Yeah,
did pretty well.
he was great.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you know, I was like a couple people away from Mike, so you know, I was up there with Mike when he was just killing it.
Mike was super.
Yeah. So yeah, I got to take over for Adam when he left, so you know, I got put into that spot. But yeah, so
that was a good spot.
So you got 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Yes. So I mean, I think I'd shot 50 if you don't count the final round, because I, you know, I couldn't win money off of those. Right. I was 50%.
Solid.
So,
and you got a couple good ones.
So, you know, I was, and me and Tim, and I think a couple other people, but me and Tim were one of 18 with the Peter Frampton one.
Yep.
I got Frampton. I think Frampton had like 27 or 28, I thought.
I think it was 18 total that got both Grammer and Frampton or something
got
like
it.
That.
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I knew I didn't get, they telegraphed Andy Grammer. I mean, they told you who he was behind there.
Oh, 100%.
In the clues, which is why I got it. Otherwise, I never would have gotten that one.
When they had the book of grammar, I was like, right. I was actually angry. Because I was like, oh, you just gave it to like athletes. Because I already knew
and
it.
And so many people still got it wrong.
Yeah. I was one of them that got it wrong.
The third clue was Andy's candy. It was literally said Andy on screen.
And it's A-N-D-E-S. Andy's like the mountain.
Yeah. And then the fifth clue said grammar. And I'm like, wait. No, it can't be that easy. Andy Grammer.
And God bless Rita. You know, I love her. But when we were filming, I was so afraid that she was going to let it out that it was Peter Frampton. And you could hear me go, shh,
shh. Yeah, a lot of people were like, hey.
Don't say it. Because I knew she knew. There's no doubt in my mind that she knew.
Oh, yeah, she knew.
Have either of you watched, and to get it completely derailed, and I have no good segue, have either of you watched the Roadhouse movie yet?
I did.
Okay, what'd you think?
Oh, that means you didn't like it.
It was entertaining. I don't know if it was good.
Now, okay, I will put it to you this way. I didn't see the original Roadhouse until like a couple years ago.
Okay.
So I didn't grow up with the movie.
Patrick Swayze.
So I don't have these warm, fuzzy, nostalgic feelings for Roadhouse.
I didn't like that version either.
Patrick Swayze's version of Roadhouse wasn't very good. Like, Patrick Swayze obviously is amazing, but like it wasn't that great of a movie.
I mean, you literally, he just did like Ghost and Dirty Dancing, and then Roadhouse, it's like.
Yeah. But
did you watch the new one?
Yes.
Okay. How did you feel on it?
I know this is going to be a little bit sacrilegious, but I think I might have actually liked it a little more than the Patrick Swayze one. I'm not going to say it's a good movie.
Yeah, see, I'm with you on that. It was entertaining to watch.
It was entertaining. I will give Jake Gyllenhaal all kinds of credit for like just getting ripped. Like
I remember when those videos came out of him shooting the UFC scene in front of the UFC crowd, and then all of a sudden, you know, it was for this.
Yeah, I mean, he was jacked. So I will say, you know, I give him all kinds of credit for that, because you know he took.
I like to know his physical trainer.
Yeah, I would too. I don't think I can afford him, but I'd like to know. I will also say this: Conor McGregor physically had the part, but he is not an actor.
Yeah, everybody kept saying, they kept using the phrase that I was seeing was he way overacted, which
he, Mike Tyson in The Hangover?
Oh, come on. That was classic, Mike.
I want to say that Mike Tyson was a little more entertaining than Connor.
He was.
I definitely saw way more of Connor than I ever wanted to before.
Oh, then I definitely don't want to watch.
I mean, it was an enjoyable movie. It wasn't great, but compared, I mean, and a lot of people have feelings towards Roadhouse because of Patrick Swayze, and I get it. But if you watch it without, take away the nostalgic feelings of you know, the 80s and Patrick Swayze, and you watch it, it's not a good movie. Like,
it was not one of my favorites. Kind of reminded me of the Sylvester Stallone movie Over the Top. Do you remember that one? The arm wrestling movie.
Yeah, I know of it. I've just never watched it.
Oof. I was just clicking through YouTube today. They had The Day After. Speaking of 80s movies, that really...
And then another movie that just popped up on Amazon recently was Ricky Stenicki.
I haven't seen that yet. I
Okay.
bet you Charlie has seen
I
it.
did watch that one as I did watch that one as
How
well.
was it?
As you would imagine, it was very dumb, but there were plenty of parts where you laughed at.
Yes. Yeah. It was
I mean, it had William Macy, who's one of my all-time favorites, in it.
if you expect the movie to be dumb and it's dumb, that's okay.
Yeah.
I
But
mean,
sometimes you need a mindless movie, you know?
yeah, I mean, it allowed
Absolutely.
John Cena to choose some scenery and really just kind of have fun.
It definitely took some turns that I was not expecting it to
Yeah.
take.
Also,
Do you know the premise of it, Tim?
no, it's
So the
is
premise of
it.
it is three guy friends make up this fake fourth friend whenever they need to get out of
Right.
something as a group.
John Cena, right?
And then they end up hiring
Yeah.
John Cena to play this fake person. But he goes, when I say 1,000 times over the top, I mean he goes 10,000 times over the top of studying like this script that they give him, and he literally is this person. John Cena, I think John Cena is funny. I like when
Yeah,
he.
I mean, John Cena is a great actor. I mean,
Yeah.
his Peacemaker and a bunch of other stuff that he's been in, like, I mean, he's really good. And
Suicide Squad.
yeah, so it's for a wrestler, not, I'm gonna say not even for a wrestler, for a big guy, like, he's actually a pretty good, I mean, I would put him in the same category as like Batista or The Rock. Like, most wrestlers you're gonna get, like, Hulk Hogan or Triple H, you're like, oh wow, good for you. You were in a movie.
Yeah.
Where, like, The Rock and Batista and now John Cena, I think you're like, oh wait, you guys are actually actors. Like,
Yeah.
I think they could handle something other than just being the big guy in a movie,
Definitely.
Speaking of movies, I did. Have you seen the new Ghostbusters movie?
No, I
Not
want to
yet.
go see it. I just have not had,
Fantastic. I loved it.
I have not had time.
I really loved it.
That one and the new King Kong movie. I mean, the new
No.
Godzilla movie. But I love Godzilla movies.
I've
So
yet to
they're.
see the new Dune as well.
I'll wait for that one on
That's
Max.
the one I hear, though, to see it.
I saw the first Dune, not the David, not the David Lynch one, the of the two new ones on Max, and it was hard to stay awake. And so I can't imagine that me going to a movie to watch a 3-hour movie in the theaters,
Yeah, I hear you.
with my diabetic bladder,
Understand.
would
If you want
would.
a good tearjerker, though, Author of the King.
My wife and her sister went and saw that recently, and they really enjoyed it. I wanted, I
I loved
want,
it. That I want to see as
I
well.
do.
Fantastic. Mark Wahlberg is fantastic in that movie. It's a great movie.
Do either of you guys like British crime shows?
Yes.
No. Have you watched Slow Horses?
No, but I saw a preview for it on Apple TV, right?
Yes.
Yes,
Okay.
and
If
I've,
you like that kind of genre, I highly recommend it for you. If you
because
don't like the genre, it's not for you.
I really liked Luther, that Idris Elba one,
Yep.
and the Benedict Cumberbatch reboot of Sherlock. But I just like watching British shows in general, so.
Yeah. So like there was another one that I liked that I watched. It was called The Line of Duty.
No.
It's similar, but this one basically it's like the MI6 people who get in trouble get put into the group under Gary Oldman's control. I don't want to give it
It looked
is.
like it was looked like they were like all the people who screw up or the misfits get put on the bad
Yes,
squad.
exactly. It's oh man, it's got some good twists and turns like the classic British crime shows. Like if you do like that genre, I think there are only 6 episodes, Steve, so you
Yeah,
can crank them out pretty quick.
that is one of the things I appreciate about British TV over American TV, is that, they're like 6, 8, maybe 12 episodes for a long season, and then, I mean, like, I enjoy a lot of American TV, and I think when like The Walking Dead and like USA and AMC and stuff like that started making TV shows where they were only doing 12, maybe 16 episodes, shows started getting better. HBO was only doing 12, maybe 16 episode seasons. When you're doing 24 or 26 episodes, like CSI or some of those, you just get so many filler episodes where they're just like, you're like, we had to do a couple episodes in here just because we had to put in, 24 episodes. So
Yeah.
I think, get in and out, and then, also, I mean, it's sometimes it's annoying with the British ones, especially with shows you really like, but they're like, we did 3 seasons, we're good, we're out.
I don't like, you know, for the, and that's to that to that point. I don't mind shows that are shorter seasons if they're really good.
Right,
Like if they're, yeah.
And that was my point, is that like if you give me like six episodes, but every episode is quality from beginning to end,
absolutely,
I'm on board. Rather than forcing me to watch 24, like I love The Office, Steve Carell, Rainn Wilson, all those guys, but you'd get, you know, probably five or six episodes a season where you're just like, it was filler. Like you could skip that episode in a rewatch and not
like
miss
a Christmas
anything.
Special every year. And...
Right. Like there are just certain episodes, or like if you just took these two episodes and cut out and made them one episode and gave me like 12, maybe 16 good episodes instead of giving me 24, where like six were really good, six were okay, six were watchable, and then like six were, ugh, why am I watching this show?
Perfect example of that is, so back in the 80s, NBC released a miniseries called V. It was about these alien invaders that were reptiles, and it was a really good show. Yeah. Loved it. Freddy Krueger, you know, was one of the
Robert England,
yes. And so they eventually, that miniseries led to another miniseries, and then eventually led to a weekly series that did not do that great. It didn't last that long. And that's an example of how you could have this rich story in a short miniseries and not do well in a translation. It was such a good, I love that miniseries so much.
Yeah, and if you do like the short episodes in a season, and you do British crime shows, Nicholas, I would also, I think okay. That's like talking about.
Oh yeah. When Hulu first started, they had a lot of BBC stuff on there, and I would binge out so many British shows.
Yeah.
Now that Hulu's kind of getting bigger and you know has a, it's a lot harder to find the content. You know, there's just so much of it now. You know,
did you guys watch? Go ahead.
Now that they're making their own stuff. All of them are making their own stuff. It's a lot harder to find some of the older stuff because there's just so much, where like it used to be like, oh yeah, I'm just going to, you know, it was just easier to find stuff because there was less to look through. Yeah.
Speaking of streaming, did you guys watch The Boys?
Oh yeah.
It's coming. The new season's coming soon on Amazon Prime. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah.
When, but
did you watch Gen V yet?
Now, the spinoff, I have not seen it. Is it good?
Yes, and I do think, based off of what happened in that season, it's going to be important to watch it to see Boys.
Now, what about the fact that the lead in real life passed away? What's going to happen with that?
Who
passed away?
Chance Perdomo.
A young actor who was like the lead of Gen V passed away like in the last couple weeks.
Oh my God.
He was one of the leads. It wasn't like the lead. Like he wasn't like okay. He was one of the main characters, but he wasn't the main character. So I think you are left with a couple of options. You kill him off screen and just say, you know, Homelander killed him or something like, ooh, Homelander killed him and move on. Or you recast.
Yeah. Yeah, Homelander is one of those characters you just love to hate and hate to love.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do. But because I think Gen V is going to be so closely tied to what's happening in The Boys, that I think they're going to have time to figure out what they have to do before they have to figure out how to handle what. And I mean, it's a tragedy. I mean, it's a tragedy when anybody dies, but especially when, what was he, 27, 28?
Yeah.
He was a motorcycle crash, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's a tragedy, especially when it's completely unexpected like that. But because they have time, you know, it's not like they're on a schedule where, like, we got to pump a season out. I don't think they're going to have to rush into that decision. And I think, you know, based off of what I saw on Gen V, I do really think that they're going to closely tie some of the stuff, how Gen V ended. Because at the beginning, I was like, oh, this isn't too closely related. Like, it's in the same universe. But the end of the season, I was like, oh, no. This is very much going to affect what happened in season four. So yeah.
I haven't watched Gen V, but
I would recommend it. And it's a short watch.
It looks like the new season, so there's still some time.
Yeah, I need to rewatch. All right, well, what? Tell me a little bit about Around the Bases. One of you or both of you, whoever wants to jump, give me a quick synopsis of Around the Bases.
I mean, I'd say that, as you've mentioned earlier, Tim being our fearless leader and taking care of all the grunt work and the legwork, he's probably the one to best describe it. But we like to you know, just kind of dive into sports and pop culture.
Yeah, we, you know, honestly, it's a free flow conversation that Charlie and I mostly have. We do structure some things, like we'll say we're going to talk about this, and this, and kind of have an idea. Like our episode last week, we knew it was going to be like a baseball focused episode, but we're also going to talk about, you know, our reality show mix, which we really love. We try to keep, you know, it light and not necessarily structured. But the audience kind of knows a theme for that week. Like this week, we're going to, you know, have the great Nick Testa is going to come on with us, which we're real excited. One of our family members from We Are Family. And I'm sure we're going to hash it out with music and talk about whatever he likes to talk about. Following week, we have Stephanie. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have Franklin. We're going to talk about, you know, his show, The Lotion Gene, with his partner, David. And, you know, it's just exploring different personalities and what people are doing in pop culture and the reign of pop culture and what we like. And really, it's just a couple of friends talking for an hour. I kind of, that's the way I view it anyway.
Yeah. Not too dissimilar from what we just did tonight, honestly.
Exactly.
Right. All right. So where are we going to find you? Where are we looking? If we want to,
we are on Apple Podcasts. We're on, Spotify, we're on YouTube, Round of Bases. We are also on the TikTok, as the young people say, are on Facebook, Instagram. We're trying to market ourselves over the place. Yeah, we usually release episodes on either Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on where we're at for the week. That's usually our release date. And yeah, it's just a good time. It's good stuff to listen to on your way to work or home, wherever you want to listen. Just like the great your great show here.
So, all right.
Pop culture roulette.
Yes.
All right. Well, I have listened to, I believe, every episode at this point. It's enjoyable. I've learned a lot. I don't necessarily learn a lot about reality because I'm not a big fan of those shows. But, you know, I have the guests that you guys have had on have been very entertaining. So it's been, you know, like I said, I learned a lot from that Rob episode. Mike was very
Rob
good
is something.
Well, but,
yeah, they both are.
All right.
Then. I didn't know Rob was on so many game shows.
Oh, that was never ending list.
Newlywed Game, and
that was shocking.
You know, it's interesting is they got 115 people that they cast for the show, and there are 115 very unique, interesting personalities that we could probably film 115 episodes and have a unique one every time. So that's the great thing about meeting everybody.
All right. I guess if you're out there and you deciding that you want to take a 80s movie and remake it, and a classic movie that people just absolutely love, even though it's bad. And just remember, stupid never walks alone.
Ooh.
Comic books have been around for almost a century, and in the last two decades, we've finally gotten to see many of these characters brought to life in movies and on TV. On the Moving Panels podcast, we discuss movies and TV shows based on, inspired by, and adapted from the world of comic books. Join me and my guests as we discuss both the good and the bad from Marvel, DC, and even some of the lesser-known comic book companies. Learn what is and isn't from the comics, as well as our nerdy review of the movie or show. New episodes drop every Monday, and you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. So join us for Moving Panels, and I'll see you on the other side of the page.
Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and listen to an 80s flick flashback podcast once in a while, you could miss it. Do you love movies of a certain age? Do you miss the days of VHS tapes, VCRs, and the video rental stores? Does the thought of another 80s movie being remade seem inconceivable? My name is Tim Williams. I'm the creator and host of the 80s Flick Flashback Podcast. On each episode, I'm joined by guest co-host to discuss one of the many movies released in the 1980s. We share our first-time watch memories, our favorite scenes, and even learn some behind-the-scenes stories about the cast and crew along the way. New episodes are released every other Friday on your favorite podcasting platform. So make like a tree, get out of here, and go listen to an excellent episode of the 80s Flick Flashback Podcast. The ad is over. Go home. Go.